welcome to the Corinne Barraclough Show. Coming up, I'll be speaking to Mallory Millett, sister of Kate Millett, the influential American feminist activist and writer. Kate wrote Sexual Politics in 1970, which is widely regarded as one of radical feminism's key texts. Mallory's been very outspoken and critical of her sister and her influence on second wave feminism. She speaks about Marxist feminists, and I'm looking forward to finding out more. First, I want to share a couple of interesting gems from my mailbox with you. Someone asked me this week, is there an official collective noun for feminists? A flatulence, a shriek has been suggested in the past. Maybe a bossy or a mansplain. Well, what do you reckon a collective pack of feminists should be called? A mess? A shiver? A shame? Let me know. I'll look forward to reading your hilarious responses. On this second message, I want to take the opportunity to say something about politics, gender and male disadvantage. I was contacted by an Aussie man who said there is no impartiality in court anymore. Chief Justice Robert McClellan, a sitting family court judge and member of the Labour Party, who worked under Gillard, was instrumental in bringing the Duluth into the court. Having the Duluth in the House of Justice is corruption of the highest order. Robert McClelland is an Australian judge and former politician who has served on the Family Court of Australia since 2015. From 1996 to 2013, he was a member of the House of Representatives representing the Labour Party. Should someone of a clear political leaning be appointed to the Family Court? McClellan did indeed work under Gillard, and he was indeed instrumental in bringing the Duluth model to court. Come on, this is outrageous. The Duluth model insists that men are of evil perpetrators and women are innocent victims. That flies in the face of the presumption of innocence. It assigns guilt based on gender and is the very opposite of all the values that our legal system should pride itself on. The Duluth model is a program founded by feminist Ellen Pence. It was developed with a gendered approach to domestic violence and has been heavily criticised for completely neglecting male victims and simultaneously ignoring female perpetrators of abuse. Feminist theory, not fact, sits at the heart of the Duluth model. Feminist theory has no place in our legal system. Ellen Pence herself, the feminist who led this model, has written, "By determining that the need or desire for power was the motivating force behind battering, we created a conceptual framework that, in fact, did not fit the lived experience of many of the men and women we were working with. Speaking for myself, I found that many of the men I interviewed did not seem to articulate a desire for power over their partner. Eventually, we realised that we were finding what we had already predetermined to find. So to be clear, that's the mastermind of this crap, admitting that it's total crap. I'm really sick and tired of hearing stories of fathers, good men, being denied access to their children or having to spend a fortune being stuck in family court for many years trying to see them. What hope is there when family law system is packed full of clear political leanings, anti-male rhetoric and fans of the Duluth model? On that note, I want to get stuck straight into my interview. So your sister, Kate Millett, has been described as having a seminal influence on second wave feminism. So the book that she wrote, which was obviously hugely influential, was Sexual Politics in 1970. Right. And that's known as the book that made Sheila Jeffries a fierce feminist and possibly thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of women move into the movement of feminism. You describe her as being a Marxist feminist. Can you tell me what you mean by that?
My sister went to Oxford University.
Yes. And,
Oxford University is a Marxist mill. It's people who go to Oxford tend to come out as Marxists. And
yes.
After she left Oxford University, she went to Columbia University. And Columbia University is also a Marxist mill. All of the great famous influencing Marxists in America all came out of Columbia. Saul Alinsky, Dr. Benjamin Spock, who wrote Baby and Child Care, the entire Frankfurt Institute. So many of these people excuse me, came out of out of Columbia University. Columbia University was just, it just constantly spits out Marxists. This is basically what they do, is indoctrinate people into Marxism. So when she came out, she decided that her PhD thesis was going to be sexual politics. She was going to prove that all of the goings on between the sexes were all political. It was all conditioned by the culture, and it was not natural. That it wasn't natural for people to form families. That it was some way in which men overcame women and forced them into this situation where women would be their servants, and the male was the proletariat, the male was the bourgeoisie, and the woman and the children were the proletariat, was the way she cast the model. And she got this all from Karl Marx and from studying Marxism.
Yep.
She studied under Herbert Marcuse. She studied under some of the most famous Marxists in the world were her teachers.
Yes.
So this is all, when she went around to the United States and founded all these women's studies classes all over the country, she had two of her books as required reading. This is one of the things you'll always notice about Marxists, is that they get very rich on Marxism. Bernie Sanders has the four houses. The Obamas now have all these houses. They just bought a $20 million estate on the table. He never had a real job in his life. I have no idea how he ended up with a $20 million estate. And this is what Kate did. She founded these women's studies classes all over the United States. And really what she was teaching was Marxism 101. That's what the class is. Then you sign your child up for a women's studies class. It has nothing to do with women, I promise you. It has everything to do with Karl Marx and Wilhelm Reich and Engels and Friedrich Engels and all of that gang. That's all that's happening, is that your daughter. Your daughter is being taught to be an outlaw, be a damned outlaw. That's what she teaches. Be a damned outlaw. Like Hillary Clinton, like Loretta Lynch, like Sally Yates, like Barack Obama, like all the people on the left who take great joy in being outlaws, you know? And then her second most important principle for girls is to be a slut and be very proud of it. So girls all walk around with the word slut across their t-shirt, and they're very, very proud of this, you know? I don't know if you know about this popular song right now by Cardi B.
Yes.
Have you heard this song?
Yes, I literally just wrote about it yesterday.
Can you believe that song?
Can
you even possibly believe that song?
That's not empowering, is it?
My gosh.
It's shocking.
And I can never remember when the Me Too movement happened. And all these girls now that for 30 years have been inculcated in this empowerment thing, they're all supposed to be so empowered. And yet, when they would talk about Harvey Weinstein, they would say, well, I was in his room, and then, you know, and he put his arm around me, and then he put his hand on my rear end, and I just, you know, I just grew weak all over. I didn't know what to do. I had to give in because I didn't know what to do. I was so terrified. I froze. And I always think, wow, isn't that strange? I was educated in convent school by the nuns and my mother. And they taught me to say no, slap his face, leave the room, call a cop.
Exactly. I mean, the number of times I've had this conversation, and ultimately, don't have work meetings in someone's hotel room. Don't do it.
Yeah. I mean, didn't your mother tell you that?
Exactly. I learned that pretty early. Yeah.
Just don't do these things.
Yeah.
This is empowerment. I just froze. I didn't know what to do. I felt so helpless. I'm thinking, wow. Wow. Yeah. In 1957, I was nothing like that. I was a convent school girl. And I had every big deal in Hollywood try to do that to me. And I slammed a lot of doors. I walked out a lot of offices. I can't get over it. It's just.
Yeah. So let me read you a quote from Kate. Kate said, "The complete destruction of traditional marriage and the nuclear family is the revolutionary or utopian goal of feminism." How do you feel about that?
That's exactly what is the utopian goal of feminism.
The destruction of the traditional family.
To destroy the family. That's what Reich said. That's what Marcuse said. That's what Marx said. Get rid of the family. The family is the evil institution. But what they really want is they want each separate citizen to be lonely, living alone. Everybody should be living alone in their own apartment. This is so much fun. And then their great, connection in life, the biggest connection they have in life is the state. They have this big relationship with the state that provides all their needs. And then that's it. That's just, there's no love.
Yeah.
Babies aren't made with love. They look forward to a world where you make babies without sperm, without eggs, and without sexual contact. This is the idea. This is the idea of a wonderful world.
That's their utopia. Brilliant. So, look, you tell a really interesting story about going around to a friend of Kate's house in New York, where there were 12 women gathered, and you talk about some of the things that they were chanting and some of the things that they were saying that they were going to do. Can you tell me that story?
Well, first of all, they were doing what was called a consciousness-raising group. So it's modeled on Mao Zedong and the way that they brainwashed the villagers in Mao Zedong's China. They would have these consciousness-raising meetings, and they would bring people up to the front of the room and just humiliate them. You'd have to confess all your bourgeois sins and all the bad things you did that were anti-Chinese, that were against China. And then you would be berated and humiliated and scorned. So they would have one person be the chairwoman, and they would do something that was like a Catholic litany, where the priest says one thing and then the congregation answers, and then the priest says something. It's like a dialogue between the priest and the congregation. And it went like this. "Why are we here today?" she asked. "To make revolution," they answered. "What kind of revolution?" she replied. "The cultural revolution," they chanted. "And how do we make up the cultural revolution?" she demanded. "By destroying the American family," they answered. "No, how do we destroy the family?" she came back. "By destroying the American patriarch," they cried exuberantly. "And how do we destroy the American patriarch?" she replied. "By taking away his power." "And how do we do that?" "By destroying monogamy," they shouted. "And how can we destroy monogamy?" And in the article I write, their answer left me dumbstruck, breathless, disbelieving my ears. What on earth? What were we on planet Earth? Who were these people? Because the answer to how do we destroy monogamy was by promoting promiscuity, eroticism, prostitution, abortion, and homosexuality.
Wow.
By promoting promiscuity, eroticism, prostitution, abortion, and homosexuality. And then they would lapse into a conversation about exactly how were they going to promote these things, and their call at arms was to spread out to found the National Organization for Women, and then to make sure that women spread all throughout the country and infiltrate the judiciary, the legislatures, the executive branches of every state, of the main federal government, infiltrate all of the schools, the PTAs, all of the media, all of the colleges and universities, to infiltrate absolutely everything in the country. Hollywood, Broadway, Washington, D.C., to slime their way into all of these places and then promote promiscuity, eroticism, prostitution, abortion, and homosexuality. And this was 1969, so this was 51 years ago. And if you look at our culture today, you will see that these people, you know, when they did this, when they were saying this, I thought they were crazy.
Yeah.
Thinking, oh, yeah, right. What are you crazy? You girls. You know, they were just, most of them just got out of their PhDs and things like that. They were very fine young American women who came from fine families. They were supposedly very well educated. They had all the privilege and all the wonderful American future laid out before them. And their whole purpose was to maliciously and aggressively destroy American culture. And the only way they could destroy it was to destroy the family. Because that's what Wilhelm Reich and Friedrich Engels and Karl Marx and the Frankfurt Group, that's what they all call for, the destruction of the family.
Yes. And so tell me, Mary, how do you feel now when people still say that feminism has anything to do with equality? Those goals are really clear. What you've just spelt out there, it's really clear what the goals are. That's not equality, is it? What's your response to people that still believe that feminism is about equality?
Well, they've been completely misguided. They've been lied to. I mean, you have to understand that this Marxist movement is started in 1917, full-blown with the Russian Revolution, and their goal is worldwide domination. They're the ones who want the one world order.
Yes.
They have. Now, if people will think back, this is exactly what Hitler wanted. Hitler was going to take over the world. And what was he going to take over the world with? But National Socialism. Nazism is very far left. People love to say, oh, he was so far right, he was almost a Nazi. No, no, no. There's nothing rightist about Nazism. Nazism is a socialist plot to create a world in which the government runs all of life. Now, you know, Karl Marx himself said that socialism, you said such a nice word, you know, isn't it, Corinne? I mean, it's just a lovely word. You're talking about social. It must mean that you love
people. Sounds friendly.
It's very fine. It's very unthreatening.
Yes.
But Karl Marx himself said, quote, I am quoting him, socialism is the thin end of the communist wedge. Once we've got them as socialists, we've got them as communists. That's inevitable. And
yes.
That's what Karl Marx himself said. So he admits that it's a trick.
Yes.
You know, they're admitting that they're tricking people.
It's a strategy.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're missing.
And also, Marxist feminism calls for a reduction in the number of males.
Oh, yeah. So only 10% of the population should be males.
Yeah.
These are nuts, everybody. You have to understand that these are really mentally deranged people.
Yes.
Or another, the American people and most of the citizens of the West now have innocently and ingenuously put their fate in the hands of social engineers who do not mean them well.
Yes.
Their purpose is to take away your freedom. That's their purpose, is to enslave you.
Yes.
You know, they want to create what they've managed to do quite neatly in America is the whole energy is to get rid of the middle class. Now, what's the backbone of prosperity and the backbone of what's risen the human being up out of the mud in the last couple hundred years? It's been the growth of the middle class. The middle class, where everyone had a house, they had a car, they had a boat, they had they all had jobs, they had wonderful social lives, and they dressed very beautifully, they were clean, you know, and their purpose is to destroy that middle class. There should be no middle class. They just want to have a fairly unwashed, ignorant, enormous lower class, which they call the proletariat. And then they do what they call the dictatorship of the proletariat, which is where the proletariat, which are now these completely uneducated, completely ignorant people, dictating all of life to everybody else. And I mean, I don't know what is supposed to be intelligent about that.
Yeah.
But when they have this little world that they want to create, what happens is that the elites like Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama and Bernie Sanders, all of these people are the elites, and they run the proletariat, which is creating this dictatorship over everybody else. And then that's what they want. They want to have a whole lot of, you know, poorly paid workers who are pretty much working as slaves in factories and mines and fields and everywhere, so that the elite can live on their yachts and their, you know, so that they can go out to Jeffrey Epstein's Lolita Island, all of those elites who are going out there to that island and live this great life while the rest of the world are slaves for them. They're really trying to create an enormous slave culture, all the time telling people that they're liberating them. Mm. It's such an evil
lie. Yeah. And so, Mallory, tell me, Kate died in Paris in September 2017, and I believe that was 8 days before her 83rd birthday.
Yeah.
What kind of terms were you on at that point? You've said that everything that she, quote-unquote, achieved during her feminist, author, and activist career makes your soul sad. What terms were you on by the end?
Well, what was the last thing you asked me?
What terms were you on by the end? You've said that what she achieved makes your soul sad.
Well, the day that we buried our mother was the last day I ever spoke to Kate.
Right.
In September of 1993. We had been very tight. I had been her acolyte. I had helped her in creating this horrible world until I woke up in the 1970s, the late 70s. And in 1980, I voted for Ronald Reagan. And that was one of the happiest days of my life, was when I could vote for Ronald Reagan. And he was a great fighter of communism. I got totally on that side, because after you've been in this group a while, you discover that all they do is lie. They lie 24 hours a day, and they know they're lying. Because when I was a left-wing activist, I knew I was lying. But it's all for the cause. You know, the end by the means. And this is why it's very interesting to watch this Democrat National Convention that's going on here in America now. Because every word these people say is a lie. Every word. It has no relationship with reality or any of our present circumstances whatsoever. They want everyone to vote for them while they are busy burning down our cities, causing riots, murdering people, shooting the police, and saying that they want anarchic chaos. This and they are so crazy that they think that the American people are going to go out on November 3rd and vote for the people who are burning down our cities. I can't understand. They've gotten beyond crazy at this point. It's beyond.
It is beyond crazy.
It's pure lunacy.
What do you think, Mallory? How do we push back against this, what I would call Marxist divisive brand of feminism? What can we do to push back against that and actually achieve true equality? That would be my final question to you.
Well, I think the most important thing that people can do is fall in love, get married, and form families. Do not kill your babies. Do not kill our next generation in the womb. This is the most terrible thing going on. It's just perfectly god-awful what's happening. And this is not going to go, you know, unpunished in terms of the future and in the way in which life works, you know. I had two abortions. When we got abortion run through, all of us ran out and had abortions immediately. It is not something that you ever want to do. Do not kill your child in the womb. Get married first. The only key to prosperity is to finish school before you marry. After you finish school and you get married, that's when you start considering to have a child. And then that's when you give birth to every baby you get pregnant with. It's just, you have no idea. You know, my life is full of women in their 60s who cry themselves to sleep every night now. Just so forlorn. They killed their babies in the womb in order to protect this great future that they have now, which they hate. They live in this bleak, lonely, isolated future. They're 71 years old and they have no one. They have no children. And they go to sleep at night going, where are my children? Where are my grandchildren? Lady, you killed them. You murdered them.
And Mary, and the messaging coming out of left-wing feminism is, I find this so, just physically repulsive, is this line that abortion is healthcare. Don't you find that repulsive too?
Healthcare, yes. Abortion is healthcare. Sanctuary cities are cities where no citizen can find sanctuary. Everything that they say is a lie. Whatever they're saying to you, turn it around like the Antifa. Anti-fascist, these people who are all dressed in black, going around with truncheons and pipes and attacking strangers in the street, these are anti-fascist? No, that's fascism. That's the brown shirts from Nazi Germany, the black shirts from fascist Italy. That's what they do. They're so insidious. They blame you for what they're doing, and then they call us all racists. None of us out here on this side are racist. You know, since I joined the right in 1980, I have never had a right-wing person lie to me. They don't lie. The people on the right are all speaking absolute truth, I'm telling you.
On the left.
What?
The lies are on the left.
They're completely lies. Completely.
Yeah.
And that's how you get people like Harvey Firestein and Jeffrey Epstein. These are all the people molesting the children and the girls. You're not seeing this on the right. Mm. You know, one of the biggest problems that Joe Biden has is that we've all watched him sniffing the hair of little girls. You can go on YouTube and you can see like 125 different instances or something of him sticking his face into some little girl's hair while her mother is standing there looking so uncomfortable. But remember, they are pushing promiscuity, eroticism, prostitution, abortion, and homosexuality. What are all of those things? They're all sexual. They're all about being free love, everything sexual, sexual, sexual. Meanwhile, nobody has a family, and they're killing all the babies that come from it. It's the most perverse. I mean, I can never get over how sad this whole thing is. And I tell you that I have a pretty guilty conscience in not having written about this many years before. But, you know, I was so busy enjoying a very happy marriage. I'm married to the love of my life. And we have such a terrific life. And we had wonderful businesses that were doing well. And we were so busy doing that it wasn't until we started to kind of relax that I realized I had to start writing this stuff. I really had to get it out there.
Yeah. Mallory Millett, thank you so much for talking to me. It's been an absolute delight.
That was Mallory Millett, sister of Kate Millett, the influential American feminist activist and writer. There was a shocking news story this week that I want to briefly highlight. A woman in her 60s is accused of killing her husband in their Brisbane home. Police will allege she drugged the man with prescription medication before slitting his wrists with a blade. The Courier Mail reported that Judith Ann Venn, who's 66, briefly faced the Cleveland Magistrates Court last Tuesday, charged with domestic violence murder of 64-year-old Lance Hilton Venn. It's believed the pair was married for more than 45 years. So awful. Where is the media outcry? Where is the fury about misuse of trust? Where are the teary TV presenters begging women not to murder their husbands? Crickets, of course. Now, a change of pace. I want to say a few things about Lena Dunham, actress and loony left-wing activist. She posted a video of herself dancing to Cardi B's viral song WAP, also pronounced WAP, which actually stands for, bear with me, wet ass pussy, because, you know, sexual liberation, thanks to our feminist friends, apparently means dropping the P word now frequently. Lena claimed her post was to celebrate, quote, the normalization of female desire. There are so many things about this clusterfuck of rancid that I find offensive. I have zero desire to see a poor body image role model prance around to lyrics which I think are degrading to women. The lyrics are actually pretty foul. The song goes on about some whores in this house. Why are women being told this is empowering? It's not. Why are young girls being encouraged to normalize any of this? Lena Dunham, a self-proclaimed feminist, embodies everything that is foul about modern feminism. She's a powerful, wealthy woman who's been plagued by accusations of being a fake feminist and offensive. What a mess this lot have got themselves into. Feminists are now getting stuck into Dunham, again. It's another fine example of the left eating itself, but it's worth shining a light on just how hypocritical this all is. Remember back in 2014, Lena Dunham published her memoir, Not That Kind of Girl, in which she was accused of admitting to sexually molesting her own little sister, Grace. Another timely reminder that just because someone has millions in the bank and millions of followers on social media certainly does not mean that they should be considered a role model. Sometimes progressives are nothing more than sinister regressives. Be warned. Right, that's enough Barraclough now. See you next week.
The Corin Barraclough Show is a production of The Good Source, hosted by Corin Barraclough. To watch, listen to, or read more new media without the social justice warrior narratives or politically correct fact filter, visit goodsource.news. That's good, SAUCE.news. Become a Good Source supporter for exclusive access to live and unedited interview recordings, including the conversations before and after the show.